This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, April 27th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a report on gaps in the system of background checks for gun purchases. We'll also have a forecast for the weekend from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. A measure that would roll back power prices for struggling consumers advanced at the Illinois Capitol yesterday, but as Amanda Vinicky reports, political gamesmanship could again hold up relief.
An Illinois House committee approved a one-year rate freeze for both Ameren and Commonwealth Edison. But Republican Bill Black of Danville says the action may be futile because legislative leaders can't agree.
At some point, you just have to throw up your hands and say, come on, you're playing tennis, and my constituents are the tennis ball. You're batting them back and forth across the net. You give them hope. The hope is taken away. Then it comes back. You take it back to the other chamber. Then their hopes are dashed again.
Black is issuing a call to the governor to convene a summit to address the issue. He and other legislators, including Democrats, have criticized Rod Blagojevich's lack of involvement in the rate debate. The governor says he's waiting for the legislature to take action. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The Illinois House voted down legislation that would have given a minor seeking an abortion more alternatives to comply with parental notification, along with parents or a judge, that would have allowed the young girl to also get permission from an adult, relative, or health care professional. Illinois already has a law, but it's never been enforced. That makes Illinois the only state in the Midwest where minors can currently get abortions without telling a parent. But a court decision could change that status. East Central Illinois Republican David Rice of Willow Hill says notification is necessary as minors are already required to get permission in matters much less serious than abortion.
A 16-year-old can't go to an R-rated movie. A 17-year-old can't get their ears pierced or even go to a tanning bed. Give me a break. This requires not only parental involvement during the decision, but forever.
The measure's sponsor, Chicago Democrat John Fritchie, argues that girls are often unable to talk with parents out of fear of abuse or embarrassment.
There was a girl named Becky Bell in Indiana who was just that kind of girl. Becky, by her parents' account, was an all-American girl. She got pregnant, and she was so ashamed and embarrassed to tell her parents that under Indiana's law, where she would have been required to go to her parents, she could not bring herself to do that. Becky Bell instead then, because she could not comply with Indiana's law, went and got an illegal abortion and died.
Fritchie says his involvement in the issue resulted in threats being made against him and his staff. He says he'll try to negotiate another measure. Smokers' ability to light up an Illinois bar or restaurant could be coming to an end. Supporters of a public smoking ban say they believe they have the needed votes to win legislative approval. The Illinois House could send it to the governor's desk as early as next week. Senators have already passed it. Several lawmakers have raised concerns that a ban ignores the rights of smokers, and bar owners say it'll hurt business. But Mike Grady of the American Cancer Society says a public smoking ban would save lives by limiting exposure to secondhand smoke.
This law doesn't mandate that you cannot smoke. It just says if you're going to do it somewhere where it's safe and where it doesn't affect the public health of other people. And I think that's a fair request and reasonable.
Dozens of Illinois communities, including Champaign and Urbana, have their own smoking bans in place. Champaign's Mayor Jerry Schweihart says he'd like to remove his city's ban on smoking now that last week's elections weakened support for the ban on the city council. A fallen soldier from Champaign County will be buried today. Army Private First Class Lucas Starcevich was killed earlier this month. His funeral is set for 10 o'clock this morning at the Morgan Memorial Home in Savoy. From there, a caravan will carry Starcevich's body to Camp Butler National Cemetery in Springfield. Two Army National Guard units are preparing for deployment to Iraq. The Illinois Department of Military Affairs says 180 soldiers from the 36th-37th Maintenance Company out of Springfield and 80 soldiers of the 708th Medical Company from the Chicago suburbs are being called to active duty. The soldiers are being activated for up to 12 months. The Army National Guard currently has about 700 soldiers deployed from Illinois. About 75 people turned out last night for a Champaign County zoning panel's hearing on a request to build a Hindu temple in a rural area north of Champaign. It was the third hearing on the request, and the debate isn't over yet. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The Hindu Temple and Cultural Society of Central Illinois wants a special use permit so it can build a temple on farmland next to a rural subdivision in Hensley Township. Temple Association member Mike Cucrady told the Zoning Board of Appeals about his community's need for a place to meet and worship.
The first generation of Indian Americans would like to have their own place of worship where they can take their children, who would grow respect for their roots and cultures.
Residents of the Thoroughbred Acres subdivision say the issue for them is the possible drainage problems and traffic that could be caused by a large building going up next door. Thoroughbred Acres resident Billie Jean Thide says she already has drainage problems.
To rezone the adjoining property scares me. Regardless of whether I am upstream or downstream, my drainage situation is certain to be worsened.
In what Chair Deborah Greist calls a rare occurrence, last night's ZBA meeting lacked a quorum. So the panel will be back May 31st and could rule on the Hindu temple request then. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In the wake of the Virginia Tech massacre, the Illinois Attorney General is examining the state's policy for issuing gun permits. The office is focusing on how information is collected for background checks, so people who are mentally ill and unstable won't get guns. Illinois Public Radio's Lynette Kalsness has found some gaps in that system.
Here's how the background check works in Illinois. This is according to state police and the Department of Human Services. If someone enters a mental hospital, by choice or not, his name is sent to Human Services. The state police don't get to see that database because of privacy issues. So what they do is send over a list each day of the people who have or want gun permits. A computer sorts the information and sends matches to the police. So they know when someone who's been institutionalized in the past 5 years is trying to buy a gun, or if someone who just entered a psychiatric hospital has a permit at home.
I know what our requirements are within Illinois are higher than, I think, almost all states. I mean, the way that we do things, I know we're looked upon as one of the models.
Larry Grubb is assistant bureau chief of the division that handles gun permits at the state police. Grubb says the database is not as complete as they'd like and acknowledges there's a disconnect between the federal and state systems. The state does not report its mental health information to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. So when someone from Illinois tries to buy a gun in another state, his mental health information might not show up in a background check. Same thing goes if someone from another non-reporting state tries to buy a gun here.
Well, it just means you can miss people who otherwise would be disqualified from purchasing a firearm by not having them in the file. You know, more than likely, the person's going to be able to walk into a federal firearms licensee and buy a weapon.
Bobby Hamill is in charge of the National Background Check System for the FBI. He says 22 states contribute information on mental illness to the federal database. Taking part is not required, but he says it's, quote, strongly encouraged. He acknowledges the database is far from complete.
Well, it's doing as good a job as we can. I mean, you know, it's not for lack of trying, but we understand, you know, states have their own issues to deal with, I mean, whether it be funding or privacy limitations through statutes.
Hamill concedes the federal database cannot fulfill its mission unless all the states take part. But he says the agency is reaching out to the states and the courts and keeps getting more records all the time. So what keeps Illinois from joining in? Well, state police say it's partly the way they get the records. The Human Services database includes different categories of people with mental illness than the Brady Act calls for. Patrick Knepler is with the Department of Human Services. He says the department likely could sort that information out for the index, but
within Illinois law, there is no authority to send it onto the NICS database. So, I mean, that would be another step that would have to be taken.
There's another gap in the system. The federal gun check database includes people who are committed against their will and those judged as, quote, mental defective. But he and other officials acknowledge it does not include what's believed to be a small number of people committed to outpatient treatment, or those appointed guardians because they can't care for themselves due to mental illness, or occasionally even those judged incompetent to stand trial. He says the department and state police talked about how to get this information when the Brady Bill was passed.
The answer that we came to is we don't have that information. The only people who really have that information are the courts.
And there's another consideration, one that Knepler shares with mental health advocates, privacy rights. Mark Heyerman is a law professor at the University of Chicago. He's also facilitator of the Mental Health Summit.
The collection of any data matters, depends upon how it's used. And part of the concern one has about collecting this data is, you know, once you have data that gets shared out, you know, from state to state and into the FBI records, et cetera, it's very difficult to ever change it or get rid of it, and it will leak out.
Much better safeguards. That's what Marcia Kelliker of Equip for Equality says is necessary.
This kind of information has been misused in employment situations, in custody situations, in divorces. It can have all kinds of negative impact, especially if the information is released in such a way that the person may not have any way of knowing who is aware of it.
We're not talking about turning out people's records here. This really isn't a privacy issue.
Jennifer Bishop is the Illinois field director for the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. She founded the Illinois Victims Watchdog Group after the murder of her pregnant sister in 1990, before the Brady Act passed.
Background checks work.
She says the Brady Act has stopped more than 1 million people from buying guns, and she thinks Illinois' gun check system is strong.
Imagine what our gun violence rates would be if we didn't have the Brady Law. Imagine how many more people would have died. I mean, you can't even begin to fathom that. So if we really enhance the background checks and close the loopholes, we could really make a difference in terms of how safe we are.
The Illinois State Police and Human Services are talking about how to produce the information the federal database needs. But due to privacy law, the lawmakers are going to have to act before the agencies can make changes. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
Warmer and nicer weather are ahead of us, but for today, we're still going to be rather gray and drizzly. The forecast in far western Illinois for today is for a mix of clouds and sun, but elsewhere in the state, mostly cloudy with a few scattered sprinkles and areas of drizzle, especially in eastern sections. In Indiana, cloudy with scattered showers and patches of drizzle. Meteorologist Ed Kieser says our highs will range from 53 in northern Indiana to 68 in west central and southwest Illinois. For tonight, in eastern Indiana and the south, mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers, but elsewhere becoming partly cloudy, and lows from 42 in the north to near 50 in the south. For tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine with a few isolated showers and thunderstorms popping up in the afternoon and early evening, especially in eastern Illinois and across Indiana. Highs ranging from 66 in eastern Indiana to 74 in western Illinois, and sunny and warm for Sunday, at least in Champaign-Urbana, with a forecast high around 80 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, April 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.